you're not standing already, would you stand to your feet? And let's just continue to give an ovation of praise. Not just because of His mercy and grace, which would occupy the next eternity of our praise, but praise Him for some specific things. We praise You. It's our right. It's our privilege. We worship You. Oh, yes, we'll dance in Your presence. We worship and shout in Your presence. Song list two or three of millions or endless possibilities, reasons why we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And really, so for some of us, we could just sum up our praise today. Thank You for Your mercy, God, because we wouldn't be here, nor would we have breath in our lungs or be alive, were it not for His mercy and grace. I wonder if we could just take a moment and thank Him just solely for His mercy. God, I honor You and praise You. Thank You for every bit of mercy extended to me, Lord. Thank You for Your mercy that's kept me and brought me here today. I honor and praise You and glorify You. Oh, hallelujah. I got a reason to worship You today. Thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. So thankful for the presence and Spirit of God that meets consistently with us here at APC, and today is no exception. We are blessed, church. We're also so blessed, as we mentioned, to have several guests with us today at Apostolic Pentecostal Church. We are thankful that you decided to be with us today. Along with the rest of us, it is your right and your prerogative to worship however you feel, because this God is so worthy. Particularly if this is your first time with us, we're glad you chose to be with us. We love to connect with you and your family, if that is applicable. But if you would allow me, I'd like to preface what is preached today and this morning by explaining to you that recently we have shared two separate times of communion together here as a church family, as we recognize and remember the death and the sacrifice Jesus willingly offered on the cross. During those times, two of our local ministers, Sister Amber Williford and Mother Peter Wright, presented the many powerful facets of Jesus' death on the cross and what it represents. Because of that, I have personally felt what I would just describe as a call to the cross today. And since those times, simply put, I want to remember and live in light of the cross, the mercy we just, it's really the embodiment or the symbol of the mercy we just thank the Lord for. I want to remember and live in light of that freedom, the benefits, the community, and the redemption that it offers. And if you haven't experienced any or all of those, you can experience that today because of the cross. There are benefits, there's freedom, like we just sang about, because of the cross. But I also want to live with the responsibility of the cross, which is what we're going to discuss today. And with that in mind, if you turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 16 and verse 24. Matthew 16 and 24, familiar yet powerful passage. Jesus says to His disciples, if anyone desires to come after Me, how many of you want to go after Him and follow Him? Let him deny himself, take up his or her cross and follow Me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for My sake will find it. So He tells His disciples, if you're going to follow Me, you must take up the cross. In fact, one translation phrases it a little more directly when it says, if any of you wants to be My follower, turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross, and follow Me. This morning, I'd like to borrow my title from that particular version. I want to preach to you concerning this topic, your cross. Your cross. Before you're seated, would you turn to your neighbor, one or two, and tell them it's your cross. It is your cross. Thank you for doing that. You may be seated. I can imagine the perplexed look on their faces when the words came out of His mouth. Standing around the Master that day, the disciples, despite being told on several occasions about Jesus' ultimate plan on earth, they didn't grasp what He was really there to do. It was there for a purpose and with intention, but the disciples couldn't see it yet. Even in the context of this passage, Jesus conveys to his disciples he's going to return to Jerusalem only to suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and to eventually be killed. They didn't understand it fully, so in verse 22, Peter takes Jesus aside, and the Bible says he reprimands Jesus, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you." Now, Peter obviously was close to Jesus, but I don't think in any situation or case or however much I felt to say something, I would ever reprimand Jesus, also known as the Almighty God, also known as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They didn't grasp his true purpose as God incarnate. So it's no surprise that disciples may have been slightly confused when just two verses later, Jesus tells them, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Despite their confusion, he calls for them to follow him, and he's extremely intentional about the words he uses to do it. "Deny yourself," he says, "take up your cross and follow me." They, of course, didn't know at the time, but you and I know today the full weight of those words. We may not know the anguish behind them, but we know the meaning. We know that for which he was asking. We know why he chose to use the word cross, because we know that just a little while later, Jesus would willingly die on a cross for the sins of the world. We know he would willingly allow himself to be beaten, bruised, and even killed. We know he would eventually be led as a sheep to the slaughter. He'd be the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We know what the cross represents today. It was a symbol of sacrifice and suffering. It was the burden Christ bore. It was the very reason or purpose for the incarnation of God. It was his calling and his responsibility. It was the defining act of the life of Jesus Christ, and the culmination of all that he came to do. The cross was what Jesus chose to bear, so that others, including you and I and every last person in this room, could live in freedom from death, hell, and the grave. And aren't you thankful for that freedom that we had today, that we enjoy on a regular basis? It was his burden. It was his suffering. It was his purpose. And among many other facets, it was his calling. Indeed, if there's any notable calling we find in the Word of God, it's the calling Christ shouldered when he shouldered the cross. And while I do not pretend that his calling or his purpose is all that the cross represents, I am here to tell you that every person in this room, from the front to the back, has been called to shoulder a calling or a purpose that God has given to you. It's one of the many facets of the cross we're called to carry. So he said, "Deny yourselves, take up your cross, and follow me." In other words, surrender yourself completely. Put away any and all selfishness. Put away the things of the world. Pick up your burden. Pick up your suffering. Pick up your calling and follow after me. Looking back to Matthew 16, the context of our text we read, it's apparent Jesus is calling his disciples to the ultimate sacrifice, a sacrifice many of them would pay. He's calling them to follow him, even unto death. And again, while I realize there's more to the cross that he bore, and there's more for us to do than simply shoulder a calling, I am here this morning to remind us of one of the greatest responsibilities that has been placed on us as children of God and believers in this great God. Here today to echo the words of Jesus and to tell you that if we're going to follow him, if we're going to live for him, if we're going to be recognized as servants of the King, then we are called to deny self, and we are commanded to carry the calling for which we are destined. I'm here to tell someone today that if you're going to follow Jesus, you must carry the cross and the calling that is yours to carry. Yours to carry. It's one of the basic requirements of being his disciples. We find this in Luke 14, 27. It says it very plainly, "And whoever doesn't bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." One commentator noted that it's clear in this passage and in the context, Jesus wanted his followers to understand they each had a cross to carry that was uniquely each one's own cross. What are you saying today? I'm saying there's a cross, there's a calling, there's a mission, there's a purpose, and it has your name on it. The word is clear. And if we want to follow him, as our theme this year conveys, we've got to pick it up and to follow Jesus. There's a cross he's called every one of us to shoulder. Not your neighbor's cross. Not the cross of the most spiritual person on your pew. Not a pastor or a preacher's cross. Your cross. If any of you wants to be my follower, take up your cross and follow me. Look at your neighbor and tell him again, it's your cross. It's your cross. I remember as a young man growing up, and probably still to this day, one of my favorite days of the month or the week, however often we went, is a day I've affectionately called Grocery Day. Some of you can tell by looking at me that I like groceries. You all, some of you know the feeling I'm talking about. Probably every last one of you. You get fresh and new food in the house. So many options. Refrigerator's full to the brim. It's a wonderful feeling. But the one caveat to Grocery Day is you had to carry all the groceries inside the house. I remember distinctly my dad calling our house phone. We had house phones when I was younger. He said, "Hey, I'm at the top of the street. Need you guys to all come outside." Our entire family would like line up on the driveway. "I got a car full of groceries. I need your help carrying." Now, you got to understand, this is a family of six. When he said a car full, it was like a van full, SUV full with a trailer on the back. And I was one of those people, and I'm sure there's a kindred spirit in the room, that I didn't take two trips from the car to the kitchen. It's like an insult to my strength and carrying abilities. You all know what I would do. I'd go out to the vehicle and I'd put out my arm. Say, "Load me up. I'll take the milk, no problem. Is that an entire bag of canned goods? I'll take it. I'll take the flour, the sugar, the potatoes." I don't know why we need 25 pounds of potatoes, but I'll take them. I'd walk into the kitchen. By the time I got there, I had no feeling left in my fingers or my hands. There were white lines on my arms for weeks. I would just kind of like fumble on the floor. But I did it. I carried it all. In one trip, I was victorious. I felt accomplished. Over time, though, I learned that I had a couple limitations when I would carry all that stuff. There were several times my arms were full, but I decided to ask for some more. I end up dropping everything. Cans of corn rolling down the street, or soda cans bursting. Or I'd be following someone and they wouldn't stop to hold the door long enough, so the door would close and you're doing something acrobatic with your fingers and your feet. I learned I was limited in what I could carry when my arms were already full. I was limited in what I'm able to do when my hands are full of other stuff. I'm unable to pick anything else up when I'm already carrying other things. And groceries aside this morning, we find the same theme in the Word of God. Take one look at the disciples, you see a common thread running through each one's acceptance of their cross. Before they could pick it up, before they were able to shoulder the calling, the purpose, the mission, the destiny, each disciple first had to surrender what they were already carrying. They first had to decide within himself whether or not he was going to lay down his nets, his tax table, his livelihood, his ambitions, his will, and his life in order to pick up his cross. They had to come to a point when they stood in the presence of Jesus himself and made a decision whether or not they would completely deny themselves and surrender to the call of God. Understand me today. They did not pick up their cross without laying some things down. They didn't pick up a calling without having to deny themselves. They were not able to shoulder a cross without first laying down their will. It was a complete surrender. They gave up all that he required in order to pick up the cross and to follow him. And we see their surrender came with a price because of the context of Luke 14:27. It says, "And whoever doesn't bear his cross and come after me can't be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, doesn't sit down first, count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it?" Verse 31, "Or what king going to make war against another doesn't sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? So likewise, whoever of you doesn't forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Not a very popular message, but it's the Word of God today. In other words, if you're not willing to lay it all down, you may not be able to pick up the cross he's given you to carry. It requires a complete surrender. requires us getting before God and laying down what I want so He can give me what I need. And how many of you would contest today that the cross is what I need in my life? It's what I needed for salvation. It's what I need even to this day. It requires a complete surrender. I think this is what altars are in our lives for the first place. Settings of surrender and consecration. Crossroads of our will and God's will. Where we willingly lay down our plans, our desires, our ambitions, our aspirations at an altar before an almighty God. They're a place where God pours into us and lays the burden of a cross or a calling on our lives or on our shoulders. They're places of complete surrender where we lay down what is unnecessary to pick up what is both necessary and eternal. Hebrews says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross." Every weight and the sin. Complete surrender. It's not just sin that we're called to leave at an altar. It's anything that's deemed as dead weight in light of the cross. We're called to lay it down because dead weight is not conducive to running a race. Dead weight is not conducive to endurance. And if Jesus' example tells us anything, is we cannot carry this thing without endurance or longevity. He endured the cross. It was a test of His endurance. It was a test of His faithfulness. It was a trial of His resolve. Would He lay it down in the face of adversity, or would He endure it for the joy that was set before Him? In like manner, someone in this room this morning has heard God calling at an altar, whether for the first time or the thousandth time, whether you're a teenager, a young adult, you're a parent, you're an elder, you're a first-time guest, you've heard God whisper in your ear that He's got a purpose for you. He's got something for you to do, and you've determined to respond to it. It's been a test of your endurance. It's been a test of your faithfulness. Your resolve and your perseverance has been tested, and it may just be that you're going to find yourself in an altar again, feeling the need to lay down your will once more in order to pick up your cross. Or maybe it's been a while since you laid some weights or your will on an altar, and this morning, I believe, is an opportunity to surrender once again to a God who knows firsthand every bit of what it means to surrender His will. He's not asking us to do something He hasn't already done. And for first-time guests or any guests that are here today, or anyone who's walking around with a weight of sin in your life, or maybe you've got the weight of past in your life, you can exchange those weights today at this altar for the freedom of the cross, for the redemption of the cross. You can exchange them for salvation. You can exchange them for your slate being wiped clean. You can walk out of here with purpose. You can walk out of here with a calling or your cross. And let me tell you, this is far easier to carry than any weights or sins that may be on your life. No matter what your past is, this tells you you can be free today. This tells you you can be redeemed, that God has already paid a price for you. And now He's asked us to pay a price. Every person in this room is called to pick it up. And you may be here wondering if God has really commissioned you, if He's really called you, but the word is clear. If you want to follow Me, pick up your cross. There's a cross with your name on it. Each of us has a calling, whether that's the disciple, someone, a call to give, a call to pray, a call to teach others the Word of God, a call to clean the church or work in the nursery, a call to drive a church van or sing in the choir, a call to reach your neighbor or befriend a loved one, a call to serve the kingdom of God in a way that God has uniquely called you to do. And I know you may not even know what it is yet, and you're searching for answers. You're not sure what you're called to do, but that does not excuse or negate our responsibility to bear a cross. It's your cross. Turn to your neighbor again and remind them, it's your cross. Several years ago, Mariah and I, along with members of youth that are here, were privileged to be able to go on four different youth on missions trips to various countries overseas. For those that have gone on those trips, you know what the baby is. The baby. Garrett knows what the baby is. Baby was this secret book bag that's no longer secret. that we would put important things in, because young people are notorious sometimes for losing certain significant items like passports and tickets and money, everything you need to survive. We decided to collect these things and place it in an obscure bag. Different young adults were required to carry it on select days. This was done in case anyone may be watching our group leader. Since the group leader sometimes or most times carries important things, we didn't want them to notice any kind of pattern. Now, for those of you who are thinking about sending your student on a missions trip, please don't be alarmed by this. We've never had it happen. We've never had an attempt. We've never even thought that someone was going to do it. We just like to be very safe. But from time to time, young people were asked to carry the bag in order to avoid anyone noticing that pattern. I remember the feeling when they strapped that bag on me. They didn't just put it over my shoulders. They clipped it. I don't know how many clips that thing had. Tighten it down. I couldn't breathe. No one was taking that bag off my back. They were going to have to take me. And they need a crane to do that. It wasn't happening. I could sense the responsibility of carrying the baby. I could sense that others were counting on me. Carry their ticket home. I could sense I was carrying something invaluable, something significant. And one of the main rules was, when carrying the baby, you were never to set it down. It was your responsibility to carry it wherever you went. It was your mission to carry it no matter what you were doing. It was too valuable to leave sitting around or left unattended. If you were called and you were commissioned to carry it, you had to have it with you no matter what. Can I tell you today, you have been called to carry something invaluable, something eternal, something far bigger than you and I. You've been commissioned to carry your cross. I know this might be inconvenient. It's inconvenient for me to preach with this. I know it's uncomfortable at times. I know it may cause you to have to lay some other things down, but you can't set this down. You can't leave this unattended. It's your cross. It may be heavy at times, church, and I know many of you felt the weight of it. Your burden may seem overwhelming at times. It may seem sometimes to cost too much to carry. But it's your cross, and we can't leave it here when we leave, and we can't leave it at home when we go to school, we go to work. We can't leave it at church when we head off for vacation. It's our cross. It's your cross. In fact, it was several years ago, Mariah and I went over to Muni. They had a Disney show. I can't remember which one it was. I remember walking in there, and many of you know it's one of the largest outdoor musical theaters in the world, 14,000 people sitting there. We were watching the presentation there, and I remember everyone having a good time and laughing. And right in the middle of it, this sounds strange, and it seemed strange to me at the time, but I started looking around at all those 14,000 people, different faces, different individuals, people from all over, all backgrounds. And I just felt something check me in my spirit. I thought, I wonder how many of these people know about Jesus. Wonder how many of them have been washed in the blood and redeemed of their sins. I wonder how many are on the path to heaven. You know, this might interrupt your night at times. It may be inconvenient. It may be uncomfortable at times. But it's our cross. It's your cross. I remember I went back to watch it, and I had a cup of water sitting next to me. Took a drink of it. Again, everyone's laughing. It was like a conversation was happening in my mind between me and the Holy Ghost. And the question came back to my mind again. I wonder how many people here know about Jesus. Because the sip of water I just took is more than they're going to get if they're not on their way to heaven. Straightforward question that I felt God dealing with me. This may sound strange. It might be illogical. It's uncomfortable. It wasn't comfortable for him. It's not comfortable to carry this thing. It's illogical. Why? Why would Paul go to Jerusalem to preach when he knew death was imminent? Why would the apostles continue to preach Jesus even after they were whipped and they were flogged? Why would they go to the synagogue to preach when they knew they could be stoned or they could be beaten? The cross. It may not be easy. It may be uncomfortable. It may bring you to your knees at times. It may wake you up in the middle of the night or cause you to lose a little bit of sleep. It may cause you to have to lay down some things. It may cause you to weep for your coworkers right in the middle of your cubicle. It may cause you to invite 6 or 7 friends to church knowing your car only holds 5. It may cause you to start a Bible study in your home, P7 club at school. It may cause you to stay buried at an altar when everyone else heads home for lunch. It may cause you to pray more than you ever have, to give more than you think you can, to go outside of your comfort zone more than you've ever gone before. It may not be comfortable or convenient, but it's your cross. It's your purpose. It's your calling. It's your cross. I wonder if you'd just stand with me right now in the presence of God. I feel His Spirit just speaking to us and helping us today. Musicians, you can come. Would you just begin to talk to Him? So would you lift your hands and your voices and begin to talk to Him? I believe God has been dealing with someone already about a purpose or a plan He's got for you. God's already been ministering and speaking to someone before I ever touch this microphone about a coworker that needs your voice and they need you to minister and they need you to pray. God's already been laying this on your shoulders before I ever got here. Oh, would you take a moment right now and call on the name of Jesus? Oh God. Oh God. Jesus. He knew His cross. He knew He had to carry it. And He knew the cost. And He, bearing His cross, His own cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is in the Hebrew, Golgotha. Did He have to lay down some things, surrender some things? He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if Thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. Did He have to surrender everything? But why? Why the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Why did He bear that cross? And Pilate wrote a title, Matthew 19 says, and put it on the cross. And the writing was, Jesus Nazareth, King of the Jews. I find it significant that it had His name on it. It was His cross. No one else could have done that for you and I. And if He didn't do that, I wouldn't be here today. It might be unfair, but I wonder, if I don't pick up this cross, who might not be here in 5 or 10 years? And He didn't just bear it, but He wouldn't be detached from it. He was nailed to His cross. He couldn't leave it. And I hear Him calling today in a very somber, holy moment, saying, if any of you wants to be my follower, maybe deny yourself today. Pick up your cross and follow me. I wonder if any of you just feel God beckoning you and calling you. If you just begin to make your way out of your seat and find a place to pray, call on His name. Maybe in that prayer, just thank Him for His cross that He bore on our behalf. Oh, did you find a place to pray? Maybe you're a first-time guest. You're a guest with us today. You never experienced the redemption or the power of the cross. Today is an opportunity for that. You can come today and you could repent of your sins. You could be washed in baptism in the name of Jesus and the power of the cross can affect your life and change you today. Oh, I wonder if you'd lift your voice. God may lay a coworker on your heart right now. He may lay a family member that you hadn't even considered or thought of. God may lay a cross on your shoulders today. Oh, would you call on the name? Hallelujah. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross, God. Help me, Lord, not to be afraid to pick it up and to carry it today. Help me, Jesus, not to be afraid to lay some things down. If I got to sacrifice some time on this altar, I'll do it, God. If I got to sacrifice some plans, Lord.